The Sleep Outfitters Memorial Day Sale is on, and you can save up to $1,500 store-wide. For a limited time, save up to $500 on adjustable sets from Tempur-Pedic and Sealy. Or get a purple king mattress for the price of a queen. Plus, enjoy free next-day delivery and setup. And our exclusive lifetime price guarantee means you always get the best deal. Don't miss the Sleep Outfitters Memorial Day Sale, going on now. Save up to $1,500 store-wide. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Now, May is Melanoma Awareness Month, and for this week's expert slot, I'm joined by consultant dermatologist and photodermatology specialist, Dr. Nick V. Ralph from the Institute of Dermatologists, who will take questions about melanoma and other matters related to the skin. Nikki, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat.
Okay, Melanoma Awareness Month. People think this is Ireland. We don't need to worry about that. But we do.
We absolutely do. Yeah, we've skin cancer is the highest cancer that we have in Ireland, and we're the ninth highest in the world for skin cancer rates. So we really have the fair skin, you know, the blue eyes, the red hair, and we tend to freckle as opposed to tan. So our population is at highest risk of developing.
So people who live in sunny climes like Spain and Portugal and so on, generally they have sallow skin. So are they less prone to melanomas?
They still get it, of course, but certainly. Those with fairer skin, so we like to call it type 1 and type 2 skin. So that's, as I said, the red hair and the pale skin and a tendency to freckle and burn as opposed to naturally tan. There's a certain level of protection when your skin can tan, but essentially when you are tanned, it means you're damaged.
Do we know when the damage might be done to cause the cancer later on?
Yeah, so the majority of our damage is actually done in childhood. So up to about 20, our skin is actually susceptible to more damage. So it's really important that kids are protected. And thankfully nowadays, there's fantastic sunscreens, but there's also fantastic clothing. Like, kids do not want to be chased around putting layers and layers of cream on them, but they just want to play in the water. They want to be outside. So if you can get suits and rash vests that are absolutely amazing for them, so they can play happily and you're not worried about them as much.
Now, what are people looking for if they're trying to spot whether they have a skin cancer issue?
So when it comes to melanoma, we've about 1,200 cases a year in Ireland. It's the non-melanoma skin cancers that are actually more common. Yeah. And we have between 11 and 12,000 of them. And they tend to be essentially like a pink spot that doesn't go away or a scaly plaque that just doesn't go away. So we can all get a spot and it comes and goes in a few weeks. So really, I like to say to people, if you've got something that's persisting for longer than 4 to 6 weeks and it's pink or scaly, you need to get it checked out. When it comes to melanoma, they tend to be, for the majority of cases, pigmented. So they're like a mole that's changing. Yeah. And we use the alphabet to look out for changes. So the A, B, C, D, and E. So A is for asymmetry. So it should look nice and symmetrical with smooth borders, not jagged edges. I like to think of it like the map of Ireland if it's starting to kind of spread out at the edges. C is for colour. So if you're getting multiple colours or a change in colour. D is for diameter. So if you look at the top of an eraser on the top of a pencil, 6 millimetres and above, we'd certainly want you to get it checked out. And then E is for evolution. So if somebody sees something on their skin and it continues to change in the shape, the size, the colour, they absolutely need to go to their doctor.
Now, can you mistake it for something else? I mean, people might get what are called liver spots in age.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah. So yes, of course, seborrheic keratosis is the proper name for those kind of brown marks that people get. And the way I like to think of them is, and it was an old mentor who used to say it to me, they're like barnacles on the bottom of a boat. They are almost stuck onto the surface of the skin. You feel like you can pick them off, but you actually can't. But you won't do any damage if you rub them with a towel. Of course, they could bleed, but it doesn't mean it's of any concern. They'll just heal again. But those ones that look a bit warty, they're a little bit dry, they are the harmless ones. But still, if that's on your back, it's hard for people to say, God, is it changing? So if you've got something certainly in a place that you can't easily see, you need someone else to look at it for you.
What's the treatment? I mean, for if a melanoma is diagnosed, what do you do?
So obviously, the earlier we take it off, the better. So we stage melanoma as stage 1, 2, 3, and 4. So you want to catch people with what we call a stage 1A melanoma, where it's literally in that top layer of the skin. You cut it out and that's the end of it. And basically, you know, 99 to 100% of people will get a cure if you catch it early that way. Then, of course, you will come back to your dermatologist and you'll have regular skin checks, and we'll show people how to check it themselves at home, because obviously in between your visits, you still need to be looking at your own skin.
Now, the question of chemical treatments like medicines that you can take, there are all sorts of innovations, but they wouldn't be in your domain as a dermatologist.
Yeah, so I mean, the advances in treatment for melanoma are absolutely phenomenal. We've got a lot of immunotherapies now. So what would happen is if somebody does have a more advanced stage melanoma, it might have spread internally, they would then be referred on to a multidisciplinary team with oncology. And we have new immunotherapies where the patient will go in roughly every 3 weeks or so. But, you know, things are constantly changing with modern medicine, and they would have an infusion of an immunotherapy. But, you know, for a lot of people, they'd still be going to work and, you know, living their normal life. Yeah. And they really have changed the outcome for people with advanced melanoma.
Now, people will see the sunshine today and say, I'll get out there. And you know, they won't wear protection because they think it's only the Irish sun. And after all, it's only the beginning of May.
Absolutely.
What do you say to that?
Yeah, I had a couple of people burnt on St. Patrick's Day this year. Okay. And it wasn't a particularly, you know, it was a bit overcast. It wasn't an absolutely amazing day. So the UV is there all year round. I like to think of the letter A for all. So UVA is there all year round. And that's the rays that penetrate deeper into the skin, right into that second layer to damage the DNA. And that's the rays that give you your wrinkles. So 80 to 90% of your wrinkles are from the sun. UVB in Ireland starts to peak from May to the end of September. And they're the burning, B for burning rays of the sun. And basically that's when you have a bit too much sun earlier in the day and then you go to, you know, get into bed that night and you kind of go, ouch, and your skin looks a bit pink. So yes, the burning rays, of course, contribute to skin cancer, but so does the UVA that also comes through glass. So even if it doesn't look particularly nice and you're behind the window, you can still get damaged.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning that you are also a photodermatology specialist. So
yeah.
On the one hand, light is doing you harm. On the other hand, there are certain lights that can do you good.
Yeah, so we do use phototherapy, you know, and it's narrowband UVB. So it's really controlled what we're actually giving the patient. And we use it for things like psoriasis and eczema. And it works really well for certain patients. So it is used as a treatment. But there's also, of course, people who are allergic to the sun and they get rashes from the sun, or they're on medication combined with the sun and they get problems. So the sun is great for some things and not so great, of course, in other ways.
Yeah, because I know if you don't get sun, in places well up north in the Arctic Circle, they actually use UV light to generate vitamin D in the kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because they're living in the dark for most of the year.
I'll read you some of the questions coming in. Is there anything you can do with the Becker nevus on the forearm? What is that?
It's a congenital type of mole. So it might look quite flat, you know, and as the person gets a little bit older and becomes a teenager, you can get some hairs on it. Like, it's difficult in the sense of, like, would you really want to cut the whole thing out and have a scar? So it depends on the size of it, of course. But certainly some people do have larger congenital moles that they would want removed, and the plastic surgeons would look after that.
Question, what is the best moisturiser for the scalp? I have chronic eczema and lost all of my hair.
Oh, gosh. Well, it sounds like that person might actually need medical treatment as well. But some of the urea-based moisturisers are better for that extra dry skin, particularly. There's a brands that actually make specific sprays with urea for the scalp.
And of course, urea is coming through the Strait of Hormuz, so it may be in short supply.
Might be.
Before too long. I'm a 49-year-old woman, perimenopausal. I've been getting hormonal acne on my forehead and face. It's quite angry and sore. I'm on Evoril 50 milligram estrogen patches, HRT, for the last 2 years. I'm wondering, is it a hormone imbalance? Is that what is causing all of this?
Yeah, so it's really common, unfortunately, for women to get acne again in their 40s. Now, obviously, without seeing someone, you wouldn't know if it's genuine acne or a possible overlap between acne and rosacea. But certainly this lady should attend her GP, because we've lots of treatments.
I have a rash on arms, back, at the top of the legs, the groin, not itchy, but large bumps on the back of the legs are gone dark in colour and sometimes uncomfortable. I've been to the doctor twice, got steroid cream and antihistamines, but they're still there 2 months later.
Yeah, that person definitely needs to be referred on if they haven't got to the root cause of the problem. Certainly things on the legs can look a little bit more dusky or a little bit more purple just due to gravity, and they're the slowest to heal, but they definitely need to have further investigation.
How rare is internal primary melanoma not related to initial skin melanoma? Internal melanoma?
Yeah, so it's where you don't find a primary skin lesion. So there are cases where some unfortunate people will present with different symptoms where the melanoma has actually, for example, gone to the brain and they might have a seizure and you don't find the primary melanoma. But again, you have to go looking. So a melanoma can be on the lip, it can be at the back of the eye, it can be in place that you just don't find it. And rarely melanoma can also regress, meaning it disappears. So it might have been on the skin and then it disappears.
Can you get it in places where you have never seen the sun?
Yeah.
For example, between your toes?
Yes, you absolutely can. The sole of your foot, the genital skin, you know, lots of unusual places.
More things to be frightened of.
Yeah.
I have sunburnt looking neck all year round, despite using factor whatever. I'm wondering, is it just aging or skin damage? It also looks slightly mottled.
So that sounds like poikiloderma of Savat, a lovely name. And it is sun damage, but the person will notice that their neck appears red and, as this person describes, slightly mottled because there's sometimes pigment. It tends to be down both sides of the neck. So we can easily treat that with IPL or intense pulse light.
Dry patch of itchy, dry skin has spread over time. I'm assuming that must be eczema.
Well, I suppose without seeing it, I mean, if it's just one single patch, it could also be fungal. So definitely need to go to see the GP.
I know that when you do an examination of someone for moles, for example, you go over them with a fine tooth comb. Is there a scan that people can have? They just lie there in a machine. AI does it all.
Oh, no, it's definitely coming. And there's mole mapping machines, and AI is really now coming on in leaps and bounds. So, yes, you can go in and have mole mapping done. Now, it's still really important that there's a doctor interpreting those images. But for anyone who certainly has a large number of moles, so I'm looking at, 100 to 200 moles, they really should have their moles checked with the doctor regularly.
Teenage son has a large, about 3/4 of a centimetre mole on the back. Concerned it could develop as he gets older, but could be missed because of its positioning. Should we play it safe and have it removed now?
No, there's no evidence to say that you should take off moles. You're obviously going to be replacing them with a scar. I think if someone has a larger congenital mole on a sun-exposed site, such as the face, it's always going to get UV. There are some people who would like to have that taken off. But no, really take a good image. I mean, everyone has a smartphone now. Take a good image and hold it up against the mole. If he's still growing, the mole can it might grow with him, and then it'll clearly stop when he stops growing. But there's no reason to definitely take it off.
Okay. A middle-aged bald man with sallow skin. I try to remember to wear sunscreen, and I do wear a hat, but one often gets caught in the sun. I keep getting small, rough spot on my scalp, which the doctor then freezes off. How long can I wait with this before I go to the doctor? Because it's an expensive business.
It sounds like this person is getting actinic keratosis, which are pre-skin cancers. So I actually like to use a cream called 5-fluorouracil, which is a topical chemotherapy, and the patient would use it for 3 weeks, and then that kills off all of those sun damaged cells. But it's not an easy process. It makes them look worse before it gets better.
Someone else tells me it's possible to get a malignant melanoma in the eye, about 50 every year in Ireland, treated with radiation. Have you come across that?
Yes, so in the back of the eye. Now, normally those patients would present to an ophthalmologist as opposed to dermatology, because they'd have eye symptoms like blurred vision or lines in front of their eyes. But yes, that does happen.
Final one now. I'm a male, 47. Since my teens, I've had acne, which had become folliculitis on my shoulders and chest. I get regular flare-ups. I have tried laser treatment, antibiotics, creams and so on. I had a good response when I was 22, Roaccutane, but eventually it came back. Without doing Roaccutane again, is there anything else available?
There isn't really, if it's recurring, apart from taking another course of antibiotics, but they're not good for your gut either. So if a person had good success with isotretinoin the first time, I would potentially do it again.
All right. So many questions coming in. Professor Nikki Ralph, consultant dermatologist at the Institute of Dermatologists in Dublin. Nikki, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.